Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Heidi Meyer, welcome back. And welcome any new listeners.
Yes, tis the season to be talking about getting our tools ready.
Okay.
So, I have made a list. I'm really good at making lists.
Yes, you are.
Of all the tools.
You're pretty good at following them too.
Tools that I might need for gardening and beginners gardeners. You might want to listen up to just be aware of any good tools that would make your tasks easier. Mm-hmm. So, one thing I thought about as I was preparing this episode was, there is a prophecy in the Bible about people beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. So, like, their weapons of war into weapons of gardening.
Yeah.
And it was saying, nation shall not lift sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So I thought, wow, that is quite a challenge for our planet.
I often think that, I'm not saying that, like, if you're at war, you're not doing, I just don't want to get into PC trouble. But anyway, I was thinking like idle hands.
Yeah. Like,
someone fighting for your country isn't necessarily idle.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the debate of war right now, but I've often thought gardening is a really good solution for a lot of world problems. World peace is one of them.
Yeah.
And even bringing it home to my life, like working in schools, like I often think these children, some of them,
they need something to
just
do.
Need some soil in their hands. Like they're not ready for the pencil or the sword.
And so, if we're going to have a war, why don't we have a war on like weeds or something?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to expel any sort of energy and
any frustration.
And, any sort of anger, you can just, especially if you've got, like, for me, if I'm getting all riled up or I'm just feeling unsettled, and I've said this so many times, just an afternoon in the garden is incredibly healing. And and occasionally I even get something, like, fruitful out of it. So, but yes, you do need, I wouldn't be able to do it without certain tools. Yep, I wouldn't really, every time I do a task, there'd be at least one item I would use.
Okay.
I'm interested to see if they're the same as what's on your list
we'll
see.
Well, the other day I was at war with a carpet rose. You know the carpet rose? The roses that spread everywhere and they got thorns.
Right.
I didn't plant them. My brothers did.
Oh, and are they spreading where?
Well, they were just in the way annoying and I don't like them because they're thorny.
And they actually go on the ground.
Yeah, they spread along the ground. And I thought, I want to plant something else here. I don't really want these carpet roses.
But
I
mean, how?
how do I get rid of them? How do I? So I had to, like...
Goat? We talked about goats a few weeks back.
A goat, sorry.
I reckon they'd solve a lot of problems like that, like thorny problems.
So first thing, I got my protective gear on, which was basically gloves. You can actually get special leather gloves for extra protection that are extra long. But I just use gloves. I just don't want to get scratched
And even just like your clothing, long sleeve tops are always like handy in summer or winter or if preening spiky stuff. Yeah. So not
your white jeans or anything.
But jeans are good. Yeah.
Okay. And footwear. So I put on my, I've got these rubber, like clog type gardening shoes that most people wear gum boots, but I find them a bit too heavy to clomp around in the garden with. So I just wear those. What do you wear?
I'm so glad you asked. well, just the other day I purchased a new pair of gum boots.
Ooh.
And I've always worn low cut work boots that you find like on a building site.
Yeah.
Just because I was doing a little bit of gardening work and that was the requirement, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need like a certain boot, a steel toe.
Yeah, steel toe boot.
So what was, I actually went down to our community garden last week and I walked down, being winter, and thought, why are my socks wet? And I realised that they're so poked that they're just not even waterproof anymore.
Oh, no.
So like, right. And I went off to Bunnings and got myself a pair of gum boots.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know what you mean about them being clumpy and heavy and overwhelming. But I'm lucky because I'm little.
Yes.
Well, and I've got little feet.
Yeah.
So I looked at the kids' ones that were also half the price.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, here's a little tip if you've got small feet.
Yes.
And I just grabbed a size 3 kids and it was, they're just so much more comfortable. Oh. I can literally run in them.
Oh,
I love my new gumboots. And they only go halfway up my leg as well.
Good.
So they're not, like, they're good for Auckland.
Wow.
You know?
Are they pretty colours too?
Oh, no. They were pretty plain looking.
Oh.
But, they weren't like red bands or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure a lot of them are made in the same factory anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I'm wearing these days.
Good. Yeah. I used to have these warehouse ones that had holes in them for breathable purposes.
Oh, the Crocs.
They weren't
I used to always do my gardening.
Mum sort of borrowed them and she wore out the heels and then they collapsed. So I'm not wearing those anymore.
Yeah, that was the end of that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Mum really liked them, obviously. So
with my ones, I think they're called Hunters. My sister gave them to me. They're really sturdy. They've got a grip on them, but the backs of them you can just slip on. So they're like heelless, so not squashing the heels. So they're just easy to get in and out of.
Oh, right.
So I find that easier to have a slip-on rather than a pull-on.
Okay.
But each to their own, but I just think for convenience and, you know, ease of purpose.
Yeah, especially for your property. It doesn't seem to get, like, overly drenched, does it?
It's quite, no, not really. Like, just down the bottom bit.
Oh, okay.
And also with your shoes, when you store them, you might need to have a cubby hole or somewhere out of the rain. So if you leave them out in the rain, they're not going to be any good for you.
Yeah, no, gumboots are no good wet. No, they're for the wet, but you want to try and keep them dry, if you know what I mean. But, yeah, I mean, that's a great little show for a property like yours where it's like the lawns are always nice and short it's perfect. You could probably even get away with jandals, but then you want something to go over the toe, ideally, for safety.
Ideally have it over the toe. I mean, you just maybe if you're using a fork or a spade, there's always at risk.
I have done that. I have. I've literally put a fork through my foot.
Oh.
But I wasn't wearing jandals. I wasn't wearing anything.
Oh.
I was
the barefoot gardener.
Yeah, I'm very much
the naked gardener.
There are moments when I will be in the garden and jandals or bare feet. Yeah. So I just kind of spur of the moment. Oh, I'm going to, you know,
you're like the
attack that
the Jamie
bush.
Oliver.
Yeah, I just, you know, it comes upon me and then I'm just like,
I know, because sometimes I'm in gardening and I don't bother wearing gloves.
Because
the plant needs something and I'm there and I can't be bothered to go and grab gloves.
Again, guilty. My fingers are so cut up at the moment because I did exactly that last week. I was outside and I just had my morning coffee, so I was full of energy.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly noticed, you know, the palms, the ponytail palms.
Oh, yes.
They were all, it's that time of the year when you're pulling off all the dead ones underneath and thinning them out a bit, you know, winter and all. And I thought, that needs attending right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, with it being a palm, my hands got so scratched up. But it looks really good, though, because I was so into it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went inside and I was probably doing some Garden Planet research. Like, I looked at my hands and I went, oh, my goodness, I'm bleeding.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. Oh. I love to tell the tale well, but do not do this.
No.
Okay. Don't. We're supposed to be telling you is what not to do.
What not to do.
I had fun. just would have been nice not to have the paper cuts.
Yeah.
No, I say this and I guarantee there'll be cuts again.
I know some gardeners are very macho and they they like refuse to wear gloves.
Really?
Because their skin is so tough that it, like, they can just handle anything. But
Then you'll get other people, like my husband, who will not attempt any sort of job. Any job, really, yes. Whether it's, you know, what he did for a living or anything, without all the appropriate gear. We were just having this conversation because he says to me, oh, I would like to buy some ski boots. And he's like, I literally only spent, like, I don't know, 5 hours on the skis. And now he's off to get the proper gear. Yes. But some people are like that. Some people just like to be prepared and do things properly.
Yes.
I think you can get a little bit over the top with it, though,
sometimes. I know. Well, looking at my long list, I mean, it's like when you take up a hobby and you're into maybe like cycling or running, and then you have to get all the running shoes and the special socks.
That's pure to a T. Yeah, I know.
Okay, so we've talked about gloves, we've talked about boots or shoes, and we've mentioned spade and fork. So spade and fork is a given that you're going to be cultivating the soil. Any recommendations, Karen? I was actually given spade and fork as part of my horticulture course.
Oh, yeah.
So I have them, like, they'll probably last a lifetime if I look after them.
Don't really use forks much.
I just use them to loosen up soil or sometimes divide things.
So I'll probably just use the spade for that.
I think they are a bit, because a spade will just cut through a whole section, but if you want to be a bit gentler, you can use a fork.
You know me. I'm a bit rough around the edges. I just get in there with my spade. I don't have a fork. But the kind of spade I like a small spade.
Yeah.
You don't want a spade that's too cumbersome and hard on the back.
So try and get your tools the right size for you.
I really like the kitty spades.
Yeah. You're into the kiddie section.
I know. I'm like owning this. But I often use the kiddie spade because I like the amount of soil, the size hole that it digs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like I often find myself using that size spade just because I like it. It's like in between a trowel and a spade.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Funny, isn't it, what you end up using?
I know. Yeah. And then, of course, then your hand tools like your trowels, which is probably something...
Yeah, I've got a couple.
...you'd use all the time because you're just in
there. I've got
there.
One in the downstairs garage for the garden down there.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I can't be bothered going up to get one.
Yeah.
And one upstairs, I've got two.
Okay.
Because they're the kind of tool that you just
need
pretty much always
a few of, maybe... At least maybe three. Don't go overboard.
There's not often a time when I'm gardening where I won't pull out the trowel for something because you'll find a weed or something and you're like, oh, or find something to transplant. It's like, oh, better get the trowel out for that.
Yeah. And then, I was just mentioning my carpet rose, how I got that out. So I used a fork to wedge it out of it was beside a tree in like my garden bed, and I didn't want to use a spade because I didn't want to cut up anything else. I just wanted that rose out, so I got the fork and like forked around it and tried to get out as much as I could.
Yeah.
But what I couldn't get out, because it was so deeply rooted.
Oh yeah.
So I needed my secateurs to cut.
Oh right.
So the one that I use is a bypass secateurs. I think a lot of them now are just by default bypass ones. You used to be able to get anvil ones that had a different sort of cut to them, but they would like crush. They weren't very good at cutting.
Oh,
I found.
Okay. I don't know what I've got.
I'd probably bet you that it was a bypass secateur. But I don't think I would have minded to be crushed because I actually didn't want that plant. So maybe it was a killing secretary. But
oopsie.
Whoops. I don't like you. I'm just going to kill you.
I'm just going to accidentally kill you. Just in case your brother's listening.
I don't know if he listens to Garden Planet.
I don't know what you're talking about, Karen.
But I'll tell you what I did to so that the rose wouldn't grow back. And I'm not sure if any other gardeners do this, but I actually, so I got right down to below the crown to where the root was, but I thought, oh no, what if this root like sprouts back? You know how
What I was wondering.
I couldn't like dig right down to grub it out because it probably had gone down for ages. So I just got a bit of super glue.
Yeah.
And dabbed like the top of it and then covered it with some leaves to sort of stop it from growing.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if that is a conventional way.
Keep us posted if it...
Well, people say, oh, use all these chemicals like Roundup or whatever brand gardening poison that you want to use. But the thing that works with, you don't want to spray it because then you might spray all the other plants as well, right? Mm. And poison them. But you only want that particular plant. So I figured with a glue, it would stick to that particular root. It wouldn't go anywhere else and it would just kill that one.
Oh, well, we shall see. I mean, it depends if it decides to send off any shoots anywhere down the line
we'll
or whatever.
See. So I had two carpet roses, one on each side of the bed, and I figured, oh, I'll just glue those roots and just stop them from reproducing.
Okay. Well, keep us posted, Selena.
Okay. Now, with my secateurs, because I'm one person who tends to put things down and then goes away and then forgets where I put things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you are like that.
Yeah, very much
so. I can be quite scatterbrained. So to help me remember where I put things is actually to wear a belt. And I have a pouch, a special pouch to put my secateurs in.
Yeah.
And the one I recommend for listeners is the McGregor's leather pouch because it will last you for ages.
Yeah.
And then you can just hook it on your belt, and I have one of those, like, elastic belts that you can buy from a $2 shop.
Yeah.
So they're easy to get on and off, and it just hooks on outside of my clothes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm like a cowboy, but actually a gardening girl.
So the belt not tie up? Like, does it not have like
No, it has like a clasp. So it has a thing. So it just like buttons on or clasps on. And then I don't really have to fuss with buckles and things.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You just use it. Okay.
So you kind of
modified it a little.
I'm all about ease of use. And
right.
Yeah. I just don't, I'm not fussy. I don't care how it looks, but you can actually get some stylish ones.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it looks quite cool. It's like, you know, when you're gardening, you look like you mean business.
Yeah. And then I don't forget where I put them because I'm always going to put my secateurs back in the little pouch.
Yeah.
And, because I have lost a few. And some people say, oh, just paint your tools bright orange or something.
Or put them in a bucket.
But then you forget where the bucket is or you leave it somewhere.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, you've found what works for you. I don't have a belt. As I said, my gardening collection is, it's a bit limited.
Mm.
But,
everyone's
different.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got secateurs, so go on to pruning saws and pruners. So if you want to do a bit more damage, I mean a bit more cutting, but there are larger twigs or branches, you need a bit more oomph than a secateur. So you need like loppers or a pruning saw for the really
big
ones.
Are the loppers the ones with the big long
blades? Yeah, the big long.
Like, they look like scissors.
No, those are shears.
Oh.
They're for cutting grass.
Yeah.
But loppers are long-handled.
And secateurs are the short-handled ones. Right.
And then pruning saws is for the really big branches, so they're like a long saw and they can hook back into the handle and then you're cutting.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
So I've got one of those as well. With the loppers, you want to make sure that the handles are quite sturdy and they don't drop out of the, like, they don't break. I don't know why they make them that way for certain brands.
I wish I'd gone through, I didn't know what we were talking about today.
Who cares?
Oh dear, it's Monday here in the studio, guys. Okay. Not, we haven't yet reached Wednesday.
I couldn't recommend.
Can I add it in on the notes? Yeah, maybe what ones I use that I find
reliable. We'll put it on the Facebook page because. Don't go for the really cheapo
brands
because they're not worth it. They'll break.
Yeah, you'll just end up disappointed.
And with a lot of tools, some of them actually do come with warranties.
Yeah.
So if you keep the docket or the card that it comes with, if it does for any reason fall apart, you can get replacements. So
yeah.
I would just buy or beware on that.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's better to pay a little bit more than go through the heartbreak.
Okay. Now with weeding, one tool that I'm always using is the Nawashi. Do you know what that is, Karen?
Is it like the thing with the point on the end?
Yeah. Oh, yay! Yeah, it's a Japanese tool. I'm not exactly sure what Nawashi means in Japanese, but I'm going to look it up after this.
Yeah.
And it's like a blade. It's a hand tool and very good for weeding and grubbing out whatever you want to grub out of the soil.
Yeah.
And
they go about maybe half a foot long or something.
Yeah. Very practical. And to look after it, you just brush the dirt off and keep it somewhere dry and it will stay nice and sharp.
Yeah.
So that's what I found very useful. I mean, some people use things like Wonder Weeders, which look like little hooks where they can grub out buttercup or those really tough little ground weeds. But I use both, but I think Nawashi is quite a valuable tool for your gardening toolkit to have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't got one. I normally just use my trowel for that.
Because you're pulling it, I think you get a bit more power out of it than if you were using a trowel and you were like digging into.
Oh, so it's got a point on it.
Yeah,
and
you
just
pull it forward towards you and then it will bring out all this whatever's in the soil.
I'm just trying to. I thought it was just a stick with a point on the end of it, but I think I'm thinking
it's
of...
it's got more of a blade, actually.
Okay.
It kind of looks like a knife, but it's like a knife at an angle to the...
So it's designed to... Yeah.
Yeah. But it's sort of like a mini hoe.
It works well in terms of preventing weeds coming back, especially those taproot ones?
Well, because the blade is quite sharp, it can actually cut them off if you're only after short-term weed removal.
Yeah.
But it can, like, dig right down if you put it on an angle to get quite deep into the soil to bring out that root.
I might have to get you to show me that one.
That
sounds quite good. How do you say it again?
Nawashi.
Nawashi.
Yeah.
Not the fruit.
No. Nawashi. Nawashi. Okay?
Cool.
All right. Wasn't going to go on to power tools, but maybe that will be another episode to really get into those. But now would probably be a good time to like have a look at your power tools and get them oiled or serviced, just to get them ready for spring. So,
busy months ahead. Yep. So, get them sharpened. Get them serviced.
And, get your secateurs sharpened if they're getting a bit blunt. And, just look after your tools and your tools will look after your garden.
Do you have a special sharpener in your house for
that? I have a sharpening stone,
which
I would sometimes use when I remember.
Okay.
And also one of my garden clubs, they have a man who comes and sharpens everyone's tools.
Oh, that's cool.
So he comes once a year, so I might take them into him to get
them
sharpened.
Does the sharpening stone work?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You just have to do it back and forth a bit.
Yeah.
Mm. So invest in one of those.
And you can just get those like at a tool shop or something.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about power tools now since it's going to be spring soon and we want to power up our lawnmowers or hedge trimmers or whatever makes big noises.
Okay, so what do you specifically own in the power tool department?
Oh, not me personally. My dad, lawnmower. Okay. Pretty much everyone who has a lawn has a lawnmower. So I would recommend that you get it serviced or oiled up before you start doing all your big jobs.
Yep.
Yep. And
especially if you're like me and you ride over like stones and pegs and spoons and what? Almost my wedding ring the other day.
Oh, dear.
I'll put it down there in a safe place. And then luckily as I started mowing, I was like, hang on a minute. What an idiot. But anyway, the hubby's very particular about getting all that sorted.
Oh, very good.
So, which is why I've been banned lawnmower.
Okay. That's good to know.
But if you do, I mean, sometimes you can't avoid, like, things, eh?
No.
Oh, that's what I said. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, how was I supposed to avoid that?
Okay.
And, but, like, take it in and get it looked at. Get the blade looked at.
Yeah.
Just see how good or...
I would recommend
fearing.
Totally disconnecting the power. So if you're ever going to look at the blade.
Oh, I would. No, I would. Well, I think he has sharpened it himself, maybe. No, it depends on what kind of blade you've got. But he's a tradesman. His past job. So he's kind of got an idea. But, I mean, I would.
Yeah.
I would.
Safety first.
Take
people.
It into someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Professional gardeners will always wear ear muffs.
Definitely.
And even goggles when they're doing any power tool type job. And protective footwear. And,
Well, professionals, like I was saying, usually have to wear steel toes and all that kind of thing. But, I mean, they're sometimes working, doing some real heavy work, you know, and...
Yeah.
And you're doing it all the time,
So, yeah, I recommend that. Well, at least have earmuffs or those earplug things. It can be very noisy. But thankfully, as technology improves, we're going to be probably having more electric battery-powered tools that can charge up. And
are a lot quieter.
A lot quieter.
Mind you, we had an electric lawnmower and then we went back to petrol because it sucked.
Did it run out of power?
No, it just wasn't very grunty.
Wasn't very grunty.
And I got sick of having to keep out the cord out of the way all the time.
I thought you could just charge it up and it would go. But
this one was a cord one, so maybe the cordless ones might be better, but... we went back to petrol.
Oh, okay.
But my point is, aside from that, it was actually I still had to wear earmuffs.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah. It still makes a noise.
But not as noisy though.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I've totally undervalued your advice that you're giving the listeners there. But anyway, it's a personal story. Adds to the authenticity.
Okay. Well, that was all I had to say.
There you go.
Because I'm not actually a big fan of power tools. I'm more into the detail of caring for the plants.
You're a gentle gardener,
than lopping
Selena.
Them down and scaring
them. I'm a bit boisterous
with engines and noise.
Ah, everyone should have a chainsaw.
I have. Sorry,
it's okay. It can be electric. I'm fine with that.
Sorry, gardeners. I don't really have any tips on chainsaws. So I'm sorry.
Well, my husband refuses to have one in the house because of me.
Okay, we're going to stop
anyway,
at chainsaws because we
on that note.
Happy gardening,
all
everyone.
Right, guys, take care. Till next week.
Take extra special care with your tools.